Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
This is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again, with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And I'm zooming in with Rosalie Brown. And I'm actually looking back at sunshine right now. This is kind of crazy. It's been kind of rainy and gloomy, which has been great because, yeah, finally fire season's over. So, woohoo! How's it in your neck of the woods down in LA?
So I'm looking out the window. It rained last night. It was raining this morning a little bit when I took the dog out. And I'm trying to decipher. It's 65 right now. I think we're going to get the sun. I think the weather's passed. But yeah, it feels a little bit like fall. It's kind of nice. And it also, for some reason, I don't hear traffic as much when it's wet. So it's kind of that. Or they've all like not using my street. I don't know, but it's kind of nice.
Well, it's a trip because, like, I know, you know, we live like near Condon Park, and we'll hear Highway 20 sometimes, depending on the temperature, the air, and stuff. And sometimes we don't hear it. So it's really weird how that kind of happens, depending on the temperature, the humidity, all that stuff. And I know, I've known that's been true in other places I've lived as well. People. That one really trips me out though, because it's like sometimes we'll hear like music festivals, and sometimes we won't, even though we know there's a music festival going on. So it just kind of depends on the way the air is. I don't know.
People that are much smarter would be able to explain to us why that happens.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to send me an email and explain it, I would love to be the one who brings that fact to the table. I will.
Bottom line, though, is you're not hearing the traffic as much, right?
Yeah. No. I like that. A little funny Theo story. My Theo, not your Theo. I mean, I guess it's kind of funny, but I was a little irritated last night. So as you know, because you knew me pre-Theo, and you've known me during Theo, and you'll know me post-Theo, because, you know, the life won't go on forever. But so Theo the dog is half husky. And the reason that that's important is because the husky part of the dog is very stubborn and very vindictive, I would say. So if he doesn't get his way about something, it's kind of like a toddler who you say no, so they throw like a crayon at you when you turn your back. So imagine that, you know, he weighs, you know, a lot of pounds, and he doesn't like to be ignored. So I had just kind of feeling good about myself. I had just finally got my pink slip from the DMV. You know, that's what happens when you pay off a loan. And
I saw this on social media today.
So I was I think I was probably crying in my beer last night. I posted it, and so I was kind of happy about it. And the funny thing is that
and just to back up, the pink slip is, you got the pink slip because your car's paid off, right?
Yeah,
so now all of a sudden you managed to pay off a car, and now all of a sudden you get the pink slip. It's like winning, right?
I mean, it does kind of feel like I've reached a achievement, you know, unlocked a certain badge. And so I'm just excited, you know, to have the pink slip. And so initially I had it in one place, you know, and then here's where I screwed up. So I had a lot of things going on, and I thought, you know what, move this to this place. And then the final destination is going to be, I have kind of a lockbox that I keep like birth certificates, passports, all that stuff in.
Yeah.
And so it was going to get to the final destination, but I was distracted and hit pause on that. So anyway, I should show you a picture of where he dug it out from. I mean, he really had to he had to move books. He had to move an iPad. He had to move, and he got his nose in there and pulled it out gingerly, and then took it out into the living room and starts to shred it with his paws in his mouth. And so, like, I look
over. Like, he like literally knew that that was an important piece of paper for you.
Yes. He went and looked for it. And so I come walking in the room, and I'm like, what in the hell? And so, so there's my pink slip shredded in his face. And I was like, you know, the car I just paid off is a lot more expensive than this dog. I had a moment where I was like, you know what? One was a good investment. One was not. So, so I had a little like, okay, here's where we are. He's destroyed books before. Like when I've left him in a room he doesn't particularly care for, he's found every book he could get. And he's like, you know, done the toilet paper. He got a thing for paper. And so gratefully, he hasn't like shredded any of my books in the last few years, last 3 years at least. But I was like, what the heck? So then anyway, I looked online and I found out, okay, look, it's not the end of the world.
You can replace them. Yeah,
you can. It's going to cost like $23 and fill out a piece of paper, do it through the mail. You don't even have to go to the DMV. Right. But I was like, you know, the thing is, though, after I paid like $25,000 for the car over time, like I had a $25,000 pink slip. And now I have to replace it.
It's that and said pink slip.
Yes.
But my dog ate it.
Yeah. And literally, I was like,
literally, my dog ate it.
I Googled that exact thing. What do you do when your dog eats your pink slip? Right. Because I thought.
There was a search term.
There, yes, and there was a Reddit thread on what to do with your doggy. So there is something out there for
you're not alone.
Yeah, for everyone, for everyone. So anyway,
I love it when you do those obscure searches, and all of a sudden, it like just pops up on Google. You're like, wow, people actually search this.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder, like, oh, so my life isn't the dumpster fire I thought it was, or. Right. There's other people with this dumpster fire issue. So that was a big one. So that's my big, you know, kind of, if you were to say what happened in your world this week, I'd say, well, actually, this is my story. Where the rest of the week goes from here, I don't know.
It can only go up from here.
Right?
It can only go up. Right.
God, dogs. If I had a cat, well, I do have a cat. I was going to say the cat doesn't shred my stuff, but anyway, pets.
Just shred your skin. But, yeah.
Pets, kids. You know, what are you gonna
do? It's all hard. Yeah. No. Yeah. Pets can be, can be fun.
Pets, people, employees.
Oh, yeah. You know my joke. It's like, it's not even really a joke. It's more real. But yeah, my life would be so much easier without employees and customers. But yeah,
right.
That's a whole other thing, right?
Right. I totally get it.
I love you all. And I love all my employees. But man, sometimes you're just like, wow, this is really hard.
You know, my blanket response is I love both my pets and I love both my children. And that's period, end of sentence. Don't ask me to elaborate. We'll
elaborate from there. Yeah.
Just let me just love them both. That's it. That's all there is.
Now that we dug ourselves into a hole, let's move on. So we do have this, you came up with this great list of things because I can do nothing. And yeah, I've spent the last 2 days kind of just laying around not feeling well. So finally feeling a little bit better. Stupid cold, 2 weeks, still holding on. Picked it up while traveling and still got it. It's just like nonstop. Anyway, so what we got? We got a list of things for getting ready for 15 projects to do for the fall. So these are some good ones. Just kind of reminders of things to do around the house to get your house ready for said winter, because winter's coming. One of their first one is upgrade your furnace. Well, yeah, that's number one for us as well, right? We're going to tell you to replace your furnace. Yeah. But I say that in jest, but also, you know, if your furnace is in the 10 to 15 year range, it is time to start saving money and thinking about replacing said furnace. Cause if you use it on a regular basis, life expectancy is about 10 to 15 years. And I hate to tell you this for everybody, but the majority of our appliances in our house is about 10 or 15 years. Water heaters, 8 to 10 years. Dishwashers, 10 to 15 years. Disposers, 10 to 15 years. All these things are designed. You know, they have a design obsolescence, right? They're not supposed to last forever. You can keep a furnace going on. You can keep a furnace and HVAC system going for much longer than 10 or 15 years if you maintain it properly and replace all the parts that need to be replaced in a timely manner, and or maybe you're not using it very often because during the winter you mainly use your fireplace. So you can make these appliances last longer, but generally speaking, 10 to 15 years is about the life expectancy of a HVAC system. Next one is check all those important insulation sides, you know, all your weather stripping. Make sure you can't see any light through your doors. Make sure you can't see any light through the windows. Go around, replace any kind of weather stripping that may have compressed or fallen off or something like that. And that's something you probably want to do during the summertime anyway as well, because you don't want to be cooling the outside same way as you don't want to be heating outdoors. Check and make sure all those things are good, because you can save You can save some bucks. I mean, you know, just a 10% increase in efficiency of your home can save you, you know, $100 over the season. So, or more, depending on how big of a house you have. So, I mean, if you're spending $200-$400 a month on heating, you know, $20-$40 a month right there. So you can save it up pretty quick. Again, depending on the size of your house, if you're living in a small one bedroom, 900 square foot house, you're probably not spending $400 a month. But if you're in a 5,000 square foot house, you're spending about that, or even 3,500 square foot. Another one is seal any air leaks in the attic. We were kind of talking offline about this one. So, you know, air leaks in the attic, this is kind of a poor use of words for air leaks, because your attic should breathe. You have attic vents, and hopefully, you know, if you got a newer house, you got a ridge vent at the top so that the attic will breathe and keep humidity levels down so you don't get mold and stuff. But what they're really talking about is any kind of gaps or holes in your attic that you can see light through that is not covered by a quarter inch screen, or smaller. Those areas where critters, insects can actually get through. And we were kind of talking about, I had a good friend, they've since moved out of the area and have kind of lost contact with them, but in any event, they had a house out on off Newtown that they bought, and suddenly some bats moved into their attic. And first they didn't really think much about it, and then they come to find out that these bats did ridiculous amount of damage to their property in a very short period of time. I think it was just like one season. Did close to like $15,000 worth of damage to their property, because, you know, bats are mammals and they pee and poop, and it gets through the insulation and then also got through to the sheetrock. So all that had to be pulled out and replaced. Some of the framing had to be pulled out and replaced because that was completely saturated. So, you know, and all you need for a bat to climb in, if I'm not mistaken, if you, and you guys can correct me if any of you, the guys that out there, people that deal with bats on a regular basis, my understanding is they can fit through a hole the size of a dime. So it doesn't take much, because I know a mouse can get through the size of a hole through the size of a dime, and they're about the same size. So if you got a hole that's, you know, gosh, that's not even an inch round, they can get through that. If you got something greater than that, they can definitely get through that. So you want to go through and make sure you seal it with either some foam and or some wire screening. Make it so that the bats can't get up inside of there, because they will roost. They're great to have around. I've got a couple of bat houses on my property, and that bats have moved into. I'm really, really stoked about that, but I'm trying to keep them out of my house. So I've gone through and sealed up all the holes. Actually, I had somebody come out and who was much smarter than me on these things. And it's like, oh yeah, I see that little hole right there. They can climb through there. I'm like, all right, cover it up.
That's so scary.
He schooled me on it. I didn't even realize it. And they're like, oh yeah, I guess they can get through these really tiny holes. So
you had said something interesting too about your bat house and how they kind of wriggle up right through a small little wing.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you said that, I was thinking about when I was just in Texas, we went out into like the back by the pool or whatever in the backyard and went to open up a, umbrella, and literally like saw this little tiny bat stuck itself up in the was stuck inside the umbrella. And what was
really commonplace.
What was really weird was well, I don't know if this is weird or not, but it was shaking. So then we felt horrible. So we were like, oh, we've got him totally like freaking out, right? So we closed it after we showed the kids. We were like, hey, you know, there's little kids there. And so they were like totally unimpressed. I was very impressed. Yeah. They were,
come on, it's a bat.
They thought, but a bat in like, it's a, I don't know. I guess they were kind of picturing like Disney bats or
a
something.
A fruit bat, right?
Yeah, something huge. Yeah. And so they were kind of like, yeah, whatever. It looks like a, you know, dead mouse kind of thing. So then we closed it. And then later when we opened it, it had gotten itself out in whatever manner. But when you were talking about how your bat houses had those, that really narrow kind of
gap. It took me a while. I made a couple of them before and I messed up. I didn't design them right. Then I did some research and found that, I mean, it's literally two pieces of plywood that I used a piece of a 1x in between, and it's literally like a 3/4 inch gap, and they climb up in between that 3/4 inch gap, and it's about about a foot deep. So they climb up into the top of that, and that's where they like to hang out, these little crevices. But if they can find a way into your house, they'll move into your house. So you want to definitely keep them out of your house because of the fact that they can do damage. it's not like rats or mice where they'll chew things, which they can do more damage, but just the fact that they're eating and drinking and then coming and hanging out in your house and doing their business on your, in your insulation and on your ceiling. Yeah, keep them out. That was a good topic.
I was getting excited when we get to talk about bats.
And you asked me, like, when we were talking about this offline, you asked me, have I noticed a decrease in the amount of mosquitoes in the house? I'm like, I don't really. But then when we first moved in there, we had, our neighbor had a hog and a bunch of goats next door. So we had a lot of flies and a lot of other insects. But when they moved, that kind of, you know, we don't really have that issue anymore. The new owners just have chickens. But I haven't really noticed any decrease, but we could have seen a decrease because, I don't know, we've got anywhere from 4 to 20 bats in these houses. But I can't really, you know, I'm not that diligent and patient to sit there and watch at dusk to see how many fly out. I've taken a flashlight and tried to look in, but it's literally a quarter inch gap. So you can't, or 3/4 of an inch gap. You can't really see much.
So you haven't
look up.
You haven't attached a GoPro to the bat to see what's going on. I got it.
That's a good idea. I could just put a GoPro on the outside and count them. I don't even think about that.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I haven't done that.
It's just for your own personal interest, right? We're not actually making it. But
the only reason I know that they're there is because I see their poop, right? So I know they're. Right. I know it's occupied. You know.
Right, and that's what got us on the topic, really. So you could deflect. So you were talking about how you created something to kind of deflect their
excrement.
Yeah, I was trying to just avoid the whole topic altogether.
Avoid
but,
work. Yeah.
But you had kind of.
Yeah, because I had it, so it was just, they were pooping and it was landing on a piece of molding on in the middle of the house. And I was like, that's gross. So I just took a piece of sheet metal and angled it off and pushed it out about 6 inches. So now when they do that, it kind of bounces off of that and rolls out further into the yard and fertilizes the lawn.
Organic. So yeah.
It's okay. Organic.
There we go.
All right. Speaking of organics, the next one is clean out those gutters. You probably got some organic material up there that's nice and moist now that it's been raining and decomposing and kind of stinky. So get up there, and if you haven't already cleaned out your gutters, now's the time to do it. Get that stuff out of there. Number five, they talk about replacing single pane windows. Yeah, there's a couple benefits more than... There's a couple benefits with double pane windows more than just the energy efficiency. One of the things that I haven't lived in a house with a single pane window since I was a kid, but one of the things that single pane windows don't offer that double panes do is double pane can really cut the noise down in your house dramatically. I know we stayed in a couple hotels on our trip, and one of them was literally on a really busy street. And when you open the window, it was really loud. When we closed it, you could barely tell there was anybody outside. And people were walking back and forth and screaming and having a good time. And we could block it out. So there's a noise factor, but also you have a humidity factor. You know, single pane windows tend to, you'll get, if it's humid inside, when it's cold, it'll fog up on the windows on the inside. That's another benefit of double pane windows. So it's not just the energy saving. They're just a lot easier. They stay cleaner, quieter, humidity. They're just really great. We got time for a couple more. This one right here. Prepare your fireplace. So we've talked about this in the past, but we mainly talked about wood fireplaces, but even gas fireplaces. Like, I just turned ours on this weekend for the first time. It's starting to get cold. And lighting the pilot, making sure the thing fires up, making sure that I went around and made sure all the carbon monoxide detectors were working, that sort of thing. You want to, you know, be prepared for the season when you light even the gas fireplaces. Make sure that it's, you know, go outside and make sure you see the little water vapor coming out or the heat vapor coming out. Make sure that the flue is actually working and not, you know, dumping byproducts, combustion inside your house. So give it a thorough cleaning, give it a thorough inspection. If it's something that you haven't had inspected in a long time, if it was installed like 20 years ago, you may want to have a professional come out and take a look at it. Make sure that you don't have any cracks or anything like that, because your carbon monoxide detector will detect large quantities of carbon monoxide. But even low level of carbon monoxide can make you feel dizzy and not so good. So it's a good idea. It's a gas burning appliance. So anytime you burn gas, you have that potential for carbon monoxide poisoning. So just have it checked out. If you have a wood burning stove, if you haven't already had your chimney swept, please have that thing cleaned out. If you use it on a regular basis, you want to make sure you clean that thing out at least once a season, if not twice. Just speaking from experience, having had a chimney fire when we first moved up here, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And that was really fun when you come home and the fire department's there, and the fire department turns out to be a childhood friend of your wife's, and you look like an idiot. So yeah, because you told her what to do and she did it and it didn't quite work out.
And it was wrong.
And it was wrong. Yeah. And then that same individual was on, his son was on our swim team. So yeah, I got to hear about it quite a bit. So yeah.
Never gets old. Never gets old.
Never gets old. So yeah. In small town, right? You know, that fire department comes and tells you what it is, and you may just know them. So, you know, it's a small town.
It sure is.
This is something she grew up with in the peninsula too. So a whole other thing. Here's another one. Switch the ceiling fan direction. So now is the time of year where you want the direction of your ceiling fan to be pulling air up. And so it cascades around the walls, sides of the walls of your house. Because fans are really handy for, especially if you've got a high ceiling during the wintertime. If you've got a high ceiling and you don't feel warm enough where you're sitting, you know, down low, it's just because the heat's stratifying up in the upper levels. So turning a fan on will help circulate that air and mix it up so that it's the same temperature throughout its whole column. Because you can have, you know, I've gone into people's homes and they've complained about, yeah, it never really gets warm, and their ceiling fan is off and they've got 20-foot ceilings, and you put your hand up and you can physically feel the difference in temperature. I mean, it'd be 5-10 degrees warmer up above, and sometimes even greater than that. So you want to switch that fan so that it's not blowing air on you, just moving the air inside the room. During the summer, you want the air moving on you because it'll help keep you feel cooler, so you can, you know, you can turn your thermostat up a little bit. But during the wintertime, you want the air to be moving the opposite direction. And there's just a little switch on the side of them. If you don't know what it looks like, it's a quick Google search. How do I change the direction on my ceiling fan? I would say 99.9% of all of ceiling fans have that little switch. I haven't seen one that hasn't, but I don't want to say there aren't any. But I personally haven't seen any that didn't have the switch. So now is the time to be switching that. And last but not least, clean up your lawn and other yard tools. Now's a great time to go through, you know, all your gas appliances, all your gas burning lawnmowers and trimmers and things like that. Drain out the fuel, run it till the carburetor's cleared out so that you don't have any gas that's sitting there throughout the wintertime. It gets funky and it can destroy the carburetor. So you want to get all the fuel out of it. Not a bad time of year also just to change the oil. Check the spark plug, make sure it's clean, regap it, do that minor stuff, clean up all the metal tools that you've got, put a fresh coat of oil on them so they'll be good for you in springtime. Just those little things will make your tools last so much longer and save you some time and some headaches come springtime when you try to start the thing and it won't start because you forgot to drain the fuel out of the carburetor. Not that I've ever had that happen to me before.
Absolutely.
Two carburetors and one freaking tractor. But yeah, anyway. With that, that's our show. Hope you guys found some of this information useful. It is for entertainment value only, by the way. If you have any plumbing, electrical, heating, or air problems that you may need some help with, like replacing that furnace, you can call us at 530-230-9092. That number again, 530-230-9092. You can also find us on the web at easyasabt.com or abtplumbing.com. You can find us on Facebook. Like our Facebook page. We share all this information with every week and more. Pretty good stuff. And with that, we'll catch you guys next week. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.